And join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The gospel reading today is taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 30. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You know not to commit adultery. You should not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. And honor your father and your mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left all we had to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life." God bless the reading of his word.
So a little girl was sent to her room because she had been bad. A short time later, she came out and said to her mother, "I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "That's fine," her mother said. "If you ask God to make you good, God will help you." "Oh, I didn't ask him to help me be good," said the little girl. "I asked him to help you put up with me." Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we're continuing in that nine-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. Our image has been the orange, a single fruit, with love being the peel. And as we peel away love, we find those sections underneath, and we've been taking and pulling those apart, looking at them, looking at joy and peace and patience and kindness. Today we get to goodness. Now, when we began this series, we reflected on the overuse of the word love, because we love a lot of things. We use that word very liberally. But we discovered that the quality of love that makes up the fruit of the Spirit is agape love. It's divine love. It's not a feeling or a preference, but it's a decision we make in action and intention and attitude towards others despite how we feel. So that's been part of our homework to kind of, over the 9 weeks and hopefully beyond that, that we practice loving someone that's not easy for us to love. Well, today is goodness. And like love, good is another one of those words we use all the time. Because we'll see a good movie. We'll eat a good cookie. We read a good book. We have a good night's sleep. As I greet folks at the door after worship on Sunday, some of you have told me I gave a good sermon. And I sometimes have to bite my tongue because I want so desperately to say, what made it good? Did it inspire? Did it challenge? Did you learn something new? Was the opening joke funny? Or was it good because it was less than 25 minutes? Good is subjective. What you consider good may not be good to me or to someone else. And good can even be used to describe something that is not good. For instance, he is a good liar. Or she has all the good gossip. Generally speaking, we define good as being something or someone that's of benefit to us. And most of us would consider ourselves good. We're good people, and we do good things. But today's encounter between Jesus and the rich young ruler ought to challenge us a little bit in our assumptions about goodness. The encounter is recorded in all three synoptic gospels, that is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And Matthew and Mark are very close and similar. Luke has a little twist, so as I retell it, it's going to be kind of a composite. Now, in the scene prior in all three gospels, Jesus has just received children. The disciples had tried to hinder them, and Jesus says, "Don't hinder the children, for such belong the kingdom of God." Now, as the children and their families are dispersing, it is then that this rich young ruler, Matthew calls him a man, Luke calls him a ruler, but whatever the case, he's wealthy, he's young, a person of position, he's got everything going for him. In Luke, the man comes up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher," and he asks the question, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And then goes on to say to the man, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, and honor your mother and your father." Now in Matthew, that opening exchange is a little bit different. The man does not address Jesus as a good teacher, just as teacher, but then when he asks the question, he asks, "What good things must I do to inherit eternal life?" And again, Jesus responds, "Why do you ask me about what is good? Because only God is good. And if you want to enter life, obey the commandments." Now, in each case, the young man responds with, "Oh, I've followed those my entire life since I was a boy." And you know, Jesus doesn't argue with him on this point. He just says to him, "You lack one thing." And he says, "Sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." And then Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And the man hears this and he walks away, very sad. Now, the story tells us a few things about goodness. First, it does tell us that only God is good. It tells us also that we are not good, no matter how good we think we are. And goodness comes from following Jesus. So we'll talk first about only God is good. Because Jesus says only God is good in Luke, and in Matthew, he words it a little differently. He says, "There is only one, capital O, who is good." And there's this well-known Christian response, perhaps you've heard it, I just told it to the boys this morning. God is good all the time, God is good. God is good. Goodness is an attribute of God. Goodness is in God's very nature. In fact, goodness and God are synonymous. Scripture is full of references that speak to God's goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, who is God, in whom there is no shadow or change. The goodness of God is manifested in our salvation, his grace, his mercy, his justice, his presence, his help, his healing, all those things that are the benefits and blessings of God. And even in our not so good times of our lives, God is still working for our good. As Paul wrote to the Romans, God works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Joseph is one of the greatest examples of this. You know, Joseph, he's the one that was kind of that snotty little teenager, and his brothers were jealous, and they sold him to slavery in Egypt. 20 years later, his brothers and Joseph are reunited. They're terrified that he will get even with them. But Joseph assures them by saying this, "What you intended for evil, that is ungood, God used for good, for the saving of many lives." So God, even in what looks like not good, God is still working for our ultimate good. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Now, while God is good, we're not good. Throughout the creation narrative, God has declared what God made good. And he placed Adam and Eve in that beautiful garden with one rule: do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve were tempted. And you know what they were tempted by? You know what that fruit looked like? It looked good for food. You know, here are Adam and Eve living in the absolute perfect goodness of God, and their eyes strayed, and they looked at good food. Do you catch the difference? They were living in the good, but their eyes took them to what looked good. And as a result, they chose the ungood and were exiled from the garden. And if we're honest, we do the same thing all the time. We commit the same sin that Adam and Eve committed. We exchange all of God's goodness, God's blessings, and benefits of being in fellowship with God for those things that look good to us and to our eyes. Now, centuries later, God will choose a people, bring them to himself, and we call them the Israelites. We read their story. You know, they were called to bear the divine light, and God gave them the law to distinguish them from other nations, to give them parameters to live in community with one another and with God. And the Old Testament over and over reveals that they were not able to keep the law. They were not good. Judges records this free-for-all. Book of Judges is fun if you've never read the book of Judges. But they have this period of time where everything's really good, and then this period of time where they were doing what was good in their own eyes, and it took them in this spiral out of control. By Jesus' day, the law had been expounded upon, and it was believed that strict adherence to the law, that was being good, would curry God's favor and eternal life. You know, there are people who believe that today. You know, I've been told by people that they don't need to go to church. I'm a good person, they'll tell me. You know, they have this kind of ledger mentality that they put all their good deeds on one side and all their bad deeds on the other side and figure if the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, they're in good shape. This is kind of what the rich young ruler was thinking. In his mind, he had been good because he obeyed all the laws. He had not killed anyone, stolen, or lied, and he honored his parents. But still, in the back of his mind, he knew he lacked something because he would not have otherwise come to the feet of Jesus. And Jesus confirms it. He says, "You lack one thing. Sell everything and give it to the poor and follow me." And the young man leaves sad. This is not a condemnation of riches. Jesus is pointing out this man's fatal flaw. He thought he had been good. He had kept the law. But when push came to shove, he had broken the first commandment to love the Lord, his God, above everything else. We are not good. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, quoted Psalm 14, "No one does good, no, not one." And Isaiah, when he writes in his writings, he says, "Our goodness is like filthy rags." We can never be good enough. Only God is good. We are not. We lack one thing. and this is it. Goodness comes from following Jesus. In Luke's gospel, the young man addresses Jesus as good teacher, and when Jesus responds, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God," Jesus is not denying his divinity. He is questioning the man's concept of good. In fact, the rich young ruler is addressing the good when he speaks to Jesus. Jesus tells him, "Sell your belongings, give it to the poor, follow me." Jesus is inviting this rich young ruler to follow that which is good, to follow the one who is good. The goodness necessary for eternal life is not our good deeds. The goodness is Jesus Christ. We cannot gain our salvation by what we do. We gain it by trusting in his goodness and his mercy, just as Jesus had told the children in the previous passage, "Come to me like a child." Now the goodness that we then give out to others becomes a reflection of the goodness we have received. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So that quality of goodness that makes up the fruit of the Spirit is the good God created for us to do. Not the good that we've come from ourselves, but the goodness that God has determined for us to do in Christ. Now that sounds really nebulous. So what does this goodness look like as we live out the fruit of the Spirit? So it's a really broad topic. And you would discover if you would read Scripture that goodness is woven all the way from beginning to end. We have to study the Scriptures to discover the quality of goodness as to why God is good, what makes God good. How is goodness defined? Because God is our barometer. But as we search, here are some things to think about. In the Scriptures, we're told that a good tree is productive. Good land is fertile. A good employer is fair with his workers. And a good shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. So goodness is thus productive, generous, just, and sacrificial toward others. Goodness also includes abstaining from evil or that which is ungood. So as we talk about goodness, if we're overhearing gossip, goodness would be to walk away or to tell people that you're not comfortable with it. Same with unholy talk or complaining. Not only does goodness abstain from evil, it also overcomes evil, as Paul writes in Romans 12. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil with good. As part of that homework that we're working on loving people, love and goodness go together. We want the best for other people. We also know the story of the good and faithful servant, right? The story of the parable of talents, God's riches and mercies given to those who are his servants. In this parable, the master leaves. He gives his riches to his three servants, and when he returns, he takes an account. Two of them have increased what God has given them. One has not. The master sends the one away. The others are given more. We learn in this parable of the good and faithful servant that all that God has given us, as we grow it in ourselves and give it to others, that is the measure of a good servant. So goodness, as we read Scripture, is really not as easy as we think it is. Goodness, like love, takes our intention and it takes action. Paul frequently encourages his readers to control their minds because that's where it begins. A renewal of our minds, to focus on things that are true and noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, and to focus on those things that are above, where Christ is. So what is goodness? I narrow it down to this. Goodness is doing the right thing for the right reason. Because we understand this. We understand what doing right for the wrong reason is. If we give to a charity specifically for a tax deduction, it might be a good thing, but not the best reason. helping someone to gain recognition. So we can do something good, but the motive is wrong, and thus it makes our good ungood. Or we might also do the wrong thing for the right reason. We may lie to protect somebody's feelings, or withhold correction or rebuke to keep a friendship. But in Scripture, God's goodness is reflected in times of correction, discipline, and rebuke. How many of you, when you were corrected as a child or corrected a child yourself, said, "This is for your own good"? I never believed it when I was a kid. But it is true. There are times that good requires us to do a difficult thing. So the simple test: what is our intended action, and what is the motivation behind the action? If both are good and pure and for the benefit of others, then it will be good. Goodness is not passive. Goodness is always expressed towards God and expressed towards others. In today's story, Jesus ends with this interchange with his disciples, and the disciples are discouraged. This rich young ruler had been righteous, had done good, and what they believed in their time because of his riches was also blessed because of his goodness. But they learned that even he would not receive eternal life. And they ask, "Who then shall be saved?" And Jesus responds, "With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We cannot be good on our own. When Robert Louis Stevenson was a child, he told his mother, "Mama, you can't be good without praying." And she said, "How do you know, Robert?" And he said, "Because I've tried." We need help. And he's right, because only God is good. We are not. And goodness comes from following Jesus Christ. You know, like Robert Louis Stevenson, we can pray for God's help to do good and do the good that God has called us and prepared for us to do. Or we can be like that little girl praying for God to help the people that we are around put up with us when we're not good. We have a choice. Join with me in prayer. Gracious and loving God, your goodness and your mercy are with us all our days. In your goodness, Lord, you have poured out upon us blessing upon blessing, forgiveness and joy and peace and comfort and mercy and faithfulness. And you've given us so much. Lord, help us to embrace all your goodness. And Lord, also help us to discern the good that you have called us to do, specifically each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to mature in those fruit of the Spirit that you have given us. Mature in us love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, that others might come to know your mercy, grace, and goodness for themselves. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.